This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall off of 30. If you want to come and see us, we would love that. It is also a shout-out Friday. From the 469, I want to shout out my baby girl, Mia. She turned 4 years old today. That is delightful. Happy, happy birthday. Let's start this off. We're going to get to the Mavs in just a few minutes, but I want to go back to the Bengals because obviously we had a totally like weird, different conversation about the Bengals yesterday. But which Bengals players scare you, and where do you think that the Cowboys hold an advantage? Because this is a weird question this week in terms of there are plenty of Bengals players that scare me, but I actually think there are a lot of places the Cowboys hold an advantage as well.
I mean, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is terrifying,
yeah,
because of what he can do offense, like what he can do in his routes. He makes you watch him run a route and he gets into a cut and it's like he's still full speed. That's one of the things Mike Tomlin just has gone on and on about on that Hard Knocks. And then, but for me, Kevin, it's still T. Higgins because he's that second option. You know Ja'Marr Chase. No matter, you feel like you're going to put anything you can on him, it's still going to be difficult to cover him. Well, then when you focus that much on him, T. Higgins is just as good of a receiver on the other side. So he's a threat downfield. He's a threat in the red zone. There are just so many ways that he can hurt you too.
Bigger and it's threat, the quick those two or the Eagles two?
I would say those two.
Okay.
I'm more concerned about those two than listen, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, very tough combination. But I also say this though, I'm not as concerned about Chase Brown out of the backfield as I am Saquon Barkley.
Oh, for sure.
So the trio I would bump down a little bit just because of that. But on the offensive side, it's definitely Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. On the defensive side, it's that front. Trey Hendrickson and
he leads the league in sacks.
Yeah, and Sam Hubbard. Like that combination on the edge. And Kevin, you know, we were talking about it with Mickey yesterday. Guess who he gets to line up against? Whoever he wants to line up against.
Chuma Edoga, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. And so, I think Brock Hoffman in the middle has a real nasty streak that can go along with it, but those two on the edge can give Cooper Rush some fits.
And think about what a weird combination that is, because you're like, hey, you have a quarterback that if you ignored the records would probably be, what, second in the MVP voting at worst?
And Cooper Rush?
Yeah, not Cooper Rush. Oh, okay. I meant Joe Burrow.
All right.
You have maybe the top two receiver combination in the league, and you have the person leading the league in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a bunch of really good players.
But you can't. Your secondary isn't doing what it needs to stop
the rest
people.
Of their defense is off.
Yeah, you can throw all over these guys, and then on top of it, when it comes down to late game offensive opportunities, they just fumble the bag every time. Like they do something goes wrong late in the game where they end up losing these close games, and that's on them for not being able to do what they need to do defensively throughout games. It puts too much pressure on their offense to be the one carrying everything.
I'll combine our weird crosstalk with
Please
this
don't.
Segment.
Oh no.
As soon as we started this segment and you asked the question about the Bengals, Corey got so nervous it looked like he had to whiz his pants. The most I've ever seen, because you started shaking your leg like
Me?
You were no oh. Corey. I know you shake your leg too, but you asked the question and then Corey just started shaking his leg Like, it's the most nervous he's ever been and was about to whiz his pants.
All right. I mean, that's not necessarily the case, but I did have extra coffee this morning, okay. So that could have something to
do with it. Are you extra like, jacked up?
A little extra caffeine in the system
because
today.
I wouldn't mind it so much, but it shakes the carpet thing we have on here, the rug or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the tablecloth?
Yeah, the tablecloth.
The carpet thing or the rug?
Yeah.
So there is neither carpet nor rug in here, Mike.
Do you put a carpet on top of your table?
Yeah. Because we seized the day.
I didn't say carpe diem, you jerk. I know what you're doing, and this is how we're starting the show.
Do y'all put rugs? How many rugs do y'all have in the house?
Ooh, one, two, three,
I got
four, six.
Five. I got six.
Okay, Norm, should we just be counting actively on air?
Yeah.
I got six.
Okay, great. I have no freaking idea.
You asked about putting rugs on tables, dude. Nobody does that.
Do you only shake your leg if you drink too much coffee?
I think so, yeah. But I've shaked my leg since I was a
Somebody
kid.
Somebody get my this guy some weed in here.
My dad used to hate it, too.
I don't know if that's...
Doesn't weed, like, slow down your...
I mean, I just don't know if coffee? That's actively what we should be calling for on the air.
Hey, you know what? Some ice cold Miller Lights, though, for $4 out here at Buffalo Wild Wings today.
Okay, now that I like. All right, so the good news for the Bengals is they're not playing a team that is over 500 because this year when the Bengals have been playing teams at or over 500, they've averaged 30.3 points per game, and they're 0-7 in those games. Think about how crazy that is. Now, I realize with an average, have...
They're 4-1 against teams under 500?
Yes.
Oh, we're so under 500.
Exactly. So this is the kind of matchup that usually they excel at. They've been putting tons of points on the board against average to above average teams, but they've been losing all of those games, and they've lost four games when they've scored 30 or more points, which is tied for the most in a single season in the history of the NFL. So they have no problem putting up the points. Their defense, as you said, Corey, is atrocious. Do you believe with the, I'm going to say progress, I know it still hasn't been amazing or anything like that, but the progress shown by the Cowboys offense with Cooper Rush, do you think they can take advantage of such terrible...
Like keeping up with a 40-point deep offense of night or a 30-point offense of night?
40 feels high.
30 feels high for
That's fair.
Honestly. But I think that they're finding ways to score. They're finding ways that Cooper Rush is effective because of what he's comfortable with doing. You know, that's one of the things that you saw Schottenheimer and him talking about was he's telling me what he doesn't like to do and what he does like to do. And I think that's important for Cooper Rush to not try to be Dak in this offense, just to try to be him. I think you've seen a little bit of a different style of offense while at the same time seeing a lot of the dig routes and tight end stuff that you typically see in a Mike McCarthy offense. So I think that the Cowboys can put up 26. Like, I'm pretty confident in that, but I'm not confident enough that they can execute to get the 35 points that I think that they need in this game. That's my big concern is getting up to there because I don't think that the defense is going to be able to hold them back just because the connection with Burrow and Chase is too strong. That's just something that they know works.
How encouraged are you that they can take advantage, the Cowboys, that is, with Rico Dowdle? Because obviously he's played some of his best football these last couple weeks, but it's the same thing with Cooper Rush. Like, I'm not saying his best puts him among the best, but I'm just saying Cooper Rush has been playing better. Rico Dowdle has played some of his best football. Do you think they could take advantage of it just because, like, he had a career high in missed tackles last week with, depending on the source you look at, 9 or 10? Do you think he can carry that momentum forward and put together another 105-yard game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're a middle-of-the-pack defensive team when it comes to rush defense. So I think that if you – this is weird hearing every single person say the same thing regarding why Rico Dowdle's having the success. Do you know what that answer is from every single person so far?
I guess not.
Oh, we're just getting – what's that? We're getting the opportunities. Yeah, we're just getting the – you know, before we were just getting blown out of the water before we even got into the run game. So just getting the opportunities is the main difference because
– So the shakeup to the offensive line has helped them?
That's what everybody's – this morning I heard McCarthy say with RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show. He said it's just about the opportunities. Also, the other part of it is just like a quarterback, I love – listen to Mike McCarthy. It's just like anything. That's the thing that he throws out all the time. But he's like, listen, when a quarterback gets to see the opportunity more times, though, he gets more comfortable in what his selection is going to be. And he said, I think that's something that Dowdle's also starting to find, too. The more opportunities he's getting to run, the better rhythm he's starting to find. So that could be a definite thing there, too, Kevin, is the just him being comfortable, knowing which hole to go after, which cut to make has been important because he's getting those opportunities.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall, 951 East Interstate 30. If you want to come and see us. Coming up next, let's talk about the Mavs' dissection of the Wizards right here on The Fan.
Now here's a drive by Luka, and he turns away from the traffic, and a great dish to the corner, and Grimes. Good time, some Grimes with a corner three.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall off of 30. I assure you they are open if you want to come out and hang out with us, or if you want to set up that bid for the Swinging with a Cause on Sunday, 877-881-1053 to call in on that. Minimum bid is $1,500. Now, for the Mavericks game yesterday, I know we talked about it some in Crosstalk, but this felt like a clinic in terms of taking care of business exactly the way you wanted it to, and the game not being particularly competitive for most of the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not competitive. I was one of those where I was like, hey, let's go over here and watch what's going on there. And it just was like, oh, okay, they're scoring over and over and over. And it was fun. But it was fun, though. It's still fun.
Sure.
I know this is weird because I don't really care about this at all. But if you are going to win this cup thing.
Okay.
They are playing the best basketball out of anybody in the NBA. I mean, in a weird way,
sure
you're
like... Are you don't care, though?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I guess I care enough that I'll be honest, I'm more interested in Tuesday night's Maverick game than I am Monday night football.
Okay.
Like, if you made me watch one or the other, I would rather watch this Tuesday Oklahoma City Maverick game than the Cowboy Bengal game.
Are you at all more interested in Tuesday's game than you would have normally been in the Mavericks Thunder game because of this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's something.
Yeah,
then.
And I guess that's the way you want it to work, is that if you're one of these eight teams, if you get into the cup, that you're more interested in this game they moved up on the schedule, whether they moved it up from March or they moved it up, I think, like 4 days. Like, the Mavericks game just kind of got moved up just a little bit. Yeah, I'm interested in this because I'm like, dude, the Mavs are playing great. I don't really, like, in the history of this, I don't think anybody really cares that the Lakers won last year. And whoever wins this year, yes, they will care in the moment. And then it's like, whatever, in the history of basketball, who cares? But it does create a little bit more interest in this Tuesday game. And I'm like, dude, the Mavs are just playing great basketball right now. They're destroying the bad teams. They're figuring out a way how to beat the good teams, whether they have Kyrie or not, or whether they have Luka or not. They're figuring out a way to win and just playing this great style of basketball right now. So I'm really excited and very interested in the Dallas Mavericks.
Kevin, I saw somebody on Oklahoma radio this morning. They said they were doing a video, and they're like, of course everybody wants to sit in a suite and boo Luka for $5. They were like giving something away or raffling off something. And I was like,
hell, I would do that for $5. I might not boo Luka, but I'd sit there.
But my mind was like, because I guess it's, you know, getting ready for that Thunder and Mavs, and I was like, why, booing Luka's not going to work. That doesn't work. He loves that. That's his favorite part of it. He gets really excited about being booed.
I think he is probably, though, we've talked about this before, the most hated player in the NBA.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. I wonder who else would be in consideration for that right now. I mean, I still think LeBron is in consideration for, like, most loved and most hated at the same time, simultaneously, just because of how big he
is. Draymond Green at times.
I could see that. Is Draymond Green not, I don't know if this makes sense, is he not good enough anymore to, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he's on the team that's dominated the NBA for 8 or 9 years now.
That's Embiid? A good point.
He never plays.
Who?
Embiid. I'm just saying that just because it feels maybe, like all his teammates.
Maybe to management. Yeah. Maybe to management. I could see that. Now, this actually came out a couple days ago, so I actually believe that the Mavericks have probably moved up since then. They were fifth in terms of betting odds to take the NBA Cup. They win again. I know they beat a bad team, but they throttled them, and they have been on a roll. It's the Knicks, the Thunder, the Bucks, the Warriors, the Mavs, Rockets, Magic, and Hawks in that order. And the Hawks are, like, a lot further back than the rest.
Isn't it because the Mavericks and the teams below them are the road teams?
Yes, I think so. But do you view it now and you're like, they're playing better ball than anybody going into this tournament. I actually kind of think they might win.
Yes, and then Oklahoma City, you are getting to play them minus Chet Holmgren.
Yes.
So we played them before and beat them without Luka recently, and Oklahoma City has to play somewhat super small ball right now. At the end of games, they are playing not the Arkansas Williams. They are playing the
other Jalen Williams.
He's, like, at times their biggest player on the court. Or I guess you could say Lu Dort, who's a shooting guard, is kind of their most physical, strong player on the court, because they do not have big guys right now. So if you have Lively and Gafford healthy on Tuesday night, that's kind of an issue for them because they don't really have a center right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, in other NBA notes, Cleveland last night defeated Denver. Jokic got another triple-double. He passed Magic Johnson and now has the third most triple-doubles in NBA history. Does that mean much to you?
Okay. I went and looked at it last night because I saw Luka, you know, moves up to, like, you know, seventh or something like that. And when I saw Jokic was that high next to Magic Johnson, I was like, oh, wow, that puts him in a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the – when Mike mentioned the other day, he was like, yeah, but then Jokic just turned into what he is. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's really taken over that spot. And look at the names up there. I mean, all of them are greats that
yeah,
played this game.
I guess.
You hate Oscar Robertson?
No, it's not him. It's the other one. That Russell Westbrook is at the top of the list. And I wonder if, like, that has devalued the triple-double a little bit. Like, that one season was freaking amazing. And then I'm not saying it's not still impressive, but it wasn't as impressive anymore. And it's clearly more common than it used to be in the NBA. So does that take any of the shine out of it?
Not really for me.
Okay.
Well, for Russell Westbrook, though, in particular, yes, that was one of those, like, They forced that. He was the only guy on that team, and everybody was like, just get out of the way so he can get his rebounds.
Right.
That did a little bit, but, I mean, he still accomplished a pretty impressive feat. Jokic does it, like, just naturally. It's an organic thing every night. It just seems like it's going to happen. And to be that big and be able to pass the way he does is so amazing.
The triple-double doesn't mean that much as much to me anymore, and it's weird, but because Russell Westbrook and James Harden both averaged it, after for the history of basketball, Oscar Robertson was such a huge, like, nobody could ever average a triple-double. And the way the game has changed so much that now you see either guys getting really close to averaging triple-doubles, or we had a little bit of a run that Harden and Westbrook were able to average a triple-double, that it has taken some of it away for me because it feels like every night somebody's getting a triple-double. I know that's not true, but it just feels like it's kind of like, I don't know what else to compare it to, but it just kind of feels like it has lost a little bit of its luster. But it is a big deal when you think about being able to get three major stats in double figures. It still is, I guess, a big deal, but Westbrook and Harden did kind of ruin it.
I gotcha.
And it's not their fault. It's just the way the game has changed. Like, hey, Luka, here's the ball for 100% of the game. Well, there's a better chance of accumulating huge stats in the way that the game has changed.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall, let's catch up with Dallas Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones. Plus, is this the coolest baseball jersey ever put up for auction? Next on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan, live at Buffalo Wild Wings off of 30 in Rockwall. And right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Kevin, Corey, Mike. Good to be on with you.
Now, we love talking with you every single week. Obviously, some tough news yesterday, not just from a team perspective of what he means on the field, but can you tell us about, you know, what Zach Martin means to the organization and to this locker room?
Well, I will know that having him on the field is obviously a tremendous confidence builder for the entire team when he's out there on the field. But his presence, his respect, carries a lot of weight even when he's not on the field, just his general presence with the team. And, of course, we could potentially have a measure of that even though he's going to have this surgery. But there's no doubt about it, he's missed technically out there with the overall team aspect of the offensive line. It's a team within a team, and leadership plays a big role in that case, as well as just technically understanding just a matter of almost breathing to him to be able to make the calls and do the things that are needed to help that offensive line make the blocks and make the protections they need to. So he'll be missed for the next ball games that we have, obviously we all want this to be successful surgery. No reason why it shouldn't be.
Oh,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
This shouldn't be viewed as an end to his playing at all. It should just be viewed as an alteration of what he's going to be able to contribute this season.
Well, and for further down the road, Jerry, then how does that affect your plans of kind of looking at what next year's team could be when, you know, with his contract situation and all that?
Oh, well, at this juncture, you build into your psychic as well as technically any player you got on that roster could be lost on the next play. Mm-hmm. That's the game. That's the life we've chosen. And so not have some plans in place to not have him out on the field would be malpractice. And so we will basically put the guys in. Now, obviously, he's irreplaceable, really. But you come in and you do it another way if he were incremental to the success of that particular play or that particular series. But there's no question we'll have to work around this, but it should be viewed as the remainder of this season and only that.
You know, Jerry, everybody I've talked to that's, you know, covered the team back whenever in the Super Bowl days, everything I remember when I was a kid was Kevin Gogan had just this nasty streak about him, and he was just a tough son of a gun. Brock Hoffman seems to have that kind of mean streak in himself as well. How much is that needed in the trenches?
Well, I think attitude I think you've got to have it. It may have a little different personality with it, but frankly, I think you've got to have it to be an offensive lineman. And you have to think physical, and you have to really take it on in a very competitive way with your person playing right in front of you and the defensive front in general. So it's a psychic of us against them that can be really manifest because of the nature of the position. It's a close-knit group. They hang together. Often they really hang together socially. And you have a personality that's created, again, in different ways. Mark Colombo mm-hmm. was certainly very effective as a outstanding mental part of the line. But let me tell you something, Larry Allen, with all of his great physical attributes, Larry Allen had a certain mentality about the way he approached the game that found its way on the other players. So all of these guys can contribute to each other. Then there's just simply a communication. It's foxhole stuff at its best in that offensive line. You're in the foxhole together.
Now, the next game up, obviously, Monday Night Football. Joe Buck said he would love to have the Cowboys on Monday Night Football every single week because they get eyeballs, and they've got the biggest star in the NFL, and his name is Jerry Jones. I know Joe Buck didn't say it. Joe Buck said it, not you. But what do you think about the idea that you're the biggest star in the NFL?
Well, I don't feel that way, and I don't think that way. I am proud to be on the team, or lucky to be in the band. I mean that. And certainly getting to be a part of this thing for the 35 years I've been a part of it were beyond what I could have imagined. And I really had a big imagination when I came in. I actually paid out and committed the resources I did not have, and I was just a wing and a prayer that I could meet the task financially. But more important, I just wanted to be involved in the game, be involved with all the people around it. And it almost every step of the way, it's exceeded my expectations. If you guys want to know the truth, I really haven't worked a day since I bought the Cowboys. It's been a labor of love.
That's amazing, Jerry. And, you know, recently, I know this isn't the sport you're in, but I'd love your knowledge on this. Is the Dodgers, after winning the championship, and they did it a little bit the year before, they have deferred till 2046 over $1 billion of salary to try to put the best team on the field. Can you maybe talk about that from a financial or owner standpoint in deferring money and how that works out as possibly an owner deferring over $1 billion down the road financial-wise as an owner?
Exactly. Well, let me tell you about this owner. When you defer, then that means that you've already spent the money when you get to those years. You've spent money now that you will need in the future. And I have been there. And it's not just with ball teams. And I have been there where I've spent it and then I didn't have any left. What do you do when you run out of money? When you say you're doing the best you can do, do you know you're going to want to win a game in 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And so the real world is you're charged with managing and trying to, if you can, during the time, stay up close to that rim and then nail one or nail two or get on a run with some unique talent. A Micah Parsons come in and be a catalyst for making an elite defense, or a Mahomes coming in and organizing around that and having a big run of it around a special talent. All of those things come to my mind about what you're doing. But remember, Santa Claus does not put the tricycle on the tree. It does not. That's make-believe stuff. And so you can really get in a bind of today, although it looks like you're flush, you can really be bankrupt for the future. All you got to do is live through a few years like that, and you don't want any more of that. And so I know this is not succinct, like if I were giving you stockholders a financial report. I know it's not that. But I can tell you right now, when you're out of money and you're out of resources, and you say, well, this is about sport, it's not about money. No, this particular sport has allocated to every team the same amount of resources. And you can either use them now, or you can spread it out over a period of time. You can use them on a guard, or you can use it on a quarterback. You can use it any way that you see to use it. There's nobody that will put a gun to your head and keep you from using it. But you have to live with it when you're out of it. And so you need to manage with that in mind as you move along. And that's what I do. And I've done it wrong every way you can do it. I've done it wrong. I've done it right a few times. And so I have the benefit of experience in both areas. And I really can't tell you that I'm going to get it right the next time I do it because of ambiguity. How can you plan last year when we extend Martin and extend him and raise him on a contract that was already existed? It was there. But in order to get him in, we went ahead and extended him. How could you have known that he would be limited this year? You wouldn't have. But that's part of the game. I want you to know I thought about it. This is not shocking to wake up and not have a player that you paid money for last year. We paid money for this last year. So that's the kind of thinking you have to have when you're building a roster on the financial side of it. And that's as big as calling the plays.
Jerry, I have another financial question for you. Is in the NBA a player like LeBron James or Luka Doncic, the best players in the league, they have a max out contract. You can only give them so much. It's a huge percentage, but you can only give them so much. The way NFL quarterback salaries are going, should the NFL look into a max out contract where a NFL quarterback can only get a certain percentage of the cap?
Listen, I can't and won't speak to that. That's labor. You're right in bringing it up, Jerry. You just said that it's just as cricket should be to talk about X's and O's and receiving and routes. It should be just as cricket to talk about the nuances of a cap. The facts are you have a sum of zero. You have a sum of dollars. Every club has the same amount. Every club has the same amount of draft picks. We all know how you get them, and it's where you finish. But if you spend that amount on one player, you won't have any left to pay the others. And so if that player doesn't need as many blockers, let's say that he can do without a few blockers, then it makes some sense to go ahead and load up on him to get him, because you don't have to have the blockers in front of him that another player might need. Same thing with a receiver as it pertains to a quarterback. It could pertain that way with a player. You take a player like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was so valuable, so fabulous to the strategy of a game that you could put Deion out at the corner and the other clubs wouldn't even throw that way. They wouldn't go there. Well, that's worth an extra player. Or you could have one less and still pay him. So there's all kinds of ways that you figure the value of a player, and you've got to coordinate with what you're trying to do, your scheme. And, again, I don't want to make it sound convoluted, because there will be this year only one team that did it right, and that'll be whoever wins the Super Bowl. The rest of us screwed it up if we're not the one to win the Super Bowl.
That is the feeling there. Now, Jerry.
And so there's a lot of, there's 3,000 players. There's 30, let's say there's 35 coaches on the staff. You've got 32 of those. Well, that's well over 1,000 coaches. You've got management. You've got a lot of people, and there's only going to be one organization that ends up with having said it was worth it, and that's the one that holds the trophy up.
That's for sure. Now, I'm kind of curious how much...
A lot of people not doing it perfect.
Oh, for sure. How much weight does Dak Prescott's voice have with you? Whenever he talked this week about his, you know, feeling helpless to be able to help Mike McCarthy out in his final year of his contract, is he one of those people, one of those voices that you're going to listen to whenever it comes to that conversation about who's running this team?
You know, Dak has a vested interest in the team. He's basically a very, very incremental, critical part of our success as we go forward in the future. And so his thoughts and ideas about how to be better are very important to me. And I would say that about him. I would say in a big way, because I have that kind of respect for him. The wrong interpretation would be is if we sit down with any player and basically bounce around whether to pay a coach this much or whether to pay him that much, or whether to have certain years on a contract or not have certain years on a contract. That's probably an area that I'm not so sure even wants to get involved with. But as to helping Mike, I understand completely what he had in mind there, and that was a very mobile and a right thing for him to say. If he had been out here and our quarterback and making plays and helping us have a better record than we've got right now, that's the way to help Mike. And so those kinds of things I know are hard when you're hurt and injured. Being injured is the toughest part of being an athlete in my mind. Suffering through not only keeping your enthusiasm up to rehab and look to the future, but also dealing with a possible diminished time that you're rehabbing, and plus having to prepare yourself for the future with, let's say, a bigger handicap than you had before you got hurt.
Now, obviously, going into Monday Night Football's game, I know the main focus is what happens on the field and wanting to win. There is a big TV endeavor happening as well with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus Simpsonizing the game. What do you think about all these offshoot telecasts the NFL has done, and have you seen a picture of yourself as a Simpsons character?
Well, let me say this. I've seen a lot of them, and I'm not so sure that which characters they were supposed to represent. But here's my point. I'm all for this. I think it's fantastic. It creates a different perspective about the game. Basic football, a big 320-pounder stepping down there and getting in front of another 320 and just firing off on each other. That has an element of interest in it. But if you don't dress that up and make it a part of a competition or make it part of a presentation, then fundamentally you're not maximizing your opportunity. That's one of the most exciting things about football to me, is the way that we have evolved in presenting and getting people interested in our game. And what we're doing there with the Disney thing and the Simpsons and that type of thing does that. You know, I'm going to paraphrase Paul Tagliabue, the commissioner, and he said NFL football is about competition. It's about competition. NFL football is about business, but it's not business like Exxon or like Walmart. It's not about the bottom line. It's about more about competing than it is the pure bottom line, make a profit. The other thing, it's about tradition, and it's there. And then the fourth thing, it's entertainment. But any time you try to make it too entertaining, you can step out of bounds, because it's real. It's really men laying it on the line, physically laying it on the line, mentally, and competing. It's not wrestling. It's not something that's jumped up and down and orchestrated. It's the real stuff. Anytime you get out of line, make it too much business, you'll get flagged in a different way. You just you'll be popped. And anytime you try to make it too entertaining, it gets away from the game. Anytime you make it too much about tradition and not about who's making the play right there, you'll go overboard. So it's a balance in all of those things.
Thank you very much, good sir. Appreciate the time. Best of luck on Monday, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Okay, great to be on with you. And, boy, let's get this Cincinnati group. They're a lot better than that record.
I agree.
That's true. That's
agreed.
True. Bye, Jerry.
It'd be a big win for us. Huge win if we could get it.
Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, look, there's plenty of Cowboys stuff to break down, but I feel like the number one thing coming out of that interview will be his shocking Christmas-based opinions.
What did he really?
I'm not going to repeat.
He said that a couple times before. He said that Santa doesn't put the tricycle under the tree, and I'm always like, what does he mean? Does he set it next to the tree? Is it outside? Is it in the garage? I don't know. I don't know. I think you took that the wrong way, Kevin.
Okay, well, the way I took it was, thank God it's school time, and many people texted.
What about
like,
the homeschool kids?
Mm-hmm. I know, devastating.
What about the
opinion.
Sick kids?
That's just an opinion.
They're riding in the car on the way to the doctor.
Shared by Jerry
tons
Jones.
Tons of sick kids. Yeah, right now.
Most
Let
certainly not
you.
Shared by all of us on 105.3 The Fan.
Kevin, the other thing too, though, Zach Martin, like last week, they asked him about the injury report, and Jerry, or I think it was Tuesday, and Jerry was like, look, a lot of times I'm trying to play God. I'm trying to will them to get back out onto the field.
Yeah.
When he comes in with the Zach Martin, it's not over yet. Yes, the surgery, let's see how that all goes. But that also is Jerry Jones going, I'm still hopeful. I'm still holding out hope that he's got some time left in him. So.
And I know Zach Martin yesterday said, like, exactly what we thought he should say. Hey, I'm going to actually wait until the surgery and see how that goes, and I'll get back with you, which I think we all agree is a perfectly reasonable explanation. Now, just real quick, I wanted to throw it out there. I'm not saying you would have dropped the money on this, but did you see the Earl Weaver game-worn jersey that had a custom cigarette pocket in it sold for $3,240? Now, he's been fined in the past for smoking in the dugout, but I just thought, like, the way the pocket's in there is pretty crafty, like kind of right on the crest of the four, and he autographed it and everything like that. But how cool would it be if you had all of the money to have a manager's game-worn jersey where he's got his smoking pocket in it?
That is very cool, and I'll be honest, that doesn't seem like a lot when we see the jersey.
Yeah.
And I get it. He's not Mickey Mantle or, you know, he's not. I don't know, but Earl Weaver, I don't know this. I feel like he's a Hall of Fame manager. Maybe he didn't go in the Hall of Fame. But if he's a Hall of Fame manager, to get a game-worn jersey of a Hall of Fame person paying.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like that much. And then to have the uniqueness of having that pocket, because I think everybody knows, I'm not breaking news here, Ron Washington smokes.
Yeah.
What?
I was like, is there a possibility that he has a hidden pocket?
His were in his back pocket whenever that day that I walked up and had a one-on-one with him for about 45 minutes. He went through a pack of Winstons just standing there. So it was in his pie in his back pocket. But I can imagine Wash would have been like, hey.
Yeah.
And it has a bunch of inscriptions on it. It says.
And he's dead, right?
I'm
pretty sure Earl Weaver.
I could see that. I'm sure you're right.
He died.
A long time ago,
in
right?
In 2013,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah. This is a cool, like,
in the
jersey.
Caribbean Sea.
Congrats to an Orioles fan.
So he signed it with, obviously, Earl Weaver. Hall of Fame 96, 1,480 wins, 1,080 losses, 1970 World Series champ, two-time Manager of the Year, and 97 ejections.
So, like, awesome.
That's great.
All of those on the inscription. And
I love it.
I just thought it was really cool, and I'm with you. I'm surprised. Like, it feels like a diehard Orioles collector, or like maybe there would have been a group of them that would have been fighting to push this a little higher, but still a really cool sale right there.
I don't know if I've told this story, and it comes from my father, who probably heard it from somebody else, because Earl Weaver wasn't one of his managers. He had, like, Billy Martin, who got thrown out plenty of times. But I guess one of Earl Weaver's deal that he would do, which was amazing, is he would come out and argue with an umpire, and he'd say, "I know you want me to call you an MF-er," and all of these cuss words. So he'd be like, "I know you want me to call you one of these, so you throw me out, but I'm not going to call you an MF-er or a C, you know," and all of these things. Like, he would just keep yelling these cuss words at the guy, saying, "I know you want me to call you that, so you can throw me out, but I'm not going to call you that." But using those words so he could get out all of his cuss words
right at
the guy while saying, "I'm not calling you this, even though you want me to call you this," so he could call him all of those names and at times not get thrown out of the
That's
game.
That's genius. Would that work, like, with the wife? You know, you're like, "I know you want me to say this about you, but I'm not going to say it."
I don't think it would.
No. Okay.
Because I don't think umpires liked Earl Weaver at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you I did also hear that Jim Palmer would ask the umpire before the game started, "Can you throw out Earl as fast as possible so I don't have to deal with him in the dugout?"
I couldn't find any info immediately, but I was checking to see if, like, Earl Weaver had been married a whole bunch of times, too. And then I'd be like, "Well, that answers your question."
There you go.
Or if he'd been married for over 50 years, you're like, "Maybe it does
Yeah,
work.
Maybe. I don't know. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will continue on a shout-out Friday. We'll talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, go back to the Sagan injury and talk about some of the Stars cap implications that has. All of it next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall. They're open. Come and see us right here on 105.3 The Fan.